Yeah, I have not been at a 1 o'clock service for quite some time, so it's good to be here and to see you all. I feel like we miss each other from the 8:30 service to the 1 o'clock service. We miss seeing each other's faces and fellowshipping. So it is good to be here with you this afternoon. And thank you, Pastor Tim, for the opportunity to share the word. I know Pastor Tim values the word of God and values every opportunity he has to preach. And so to give up this Sunday and allow me the opportunity to do that is a huge thing. And so I'm thankful for it. And I do love preaching. I enjoy preaching God's word because it does something to me before it does anything to you. Because I have to spend, and every preacher would say this, time in the word and time studying. And God works in me before he's ever able to work through my preaching. And so I'm thankful for the opportunity I had this week to study this passage that we'll be looking at today. Let's, before we jump in, just ask the Lord to help us and bow to him in prayer. I thank you, Heavenly Father, that you are with us even now and that your Spirit lives in each of us. I thank you now for your word, which you've kept for us until today. And I thank you for the power that it holds. And I pray now that your Spirit would speak to us through it, Lord, that you might speak through me. And as we listen, that you might speak into our hearts and lives and show us how we can apply the truth of your word in our own lives. Lord, we lift you up and we magnify you now and just pray that you'd be glorified as we look to you now during this time. In Jesus' name, amen. I've often wondered what it would look like for us to make Christ known in our world today. Perhaps you've wondered that as well. And being involved in a missions agency for the last 5 years is especially important to consider that question. What does it look like to make Christ known in our world? Especially as we see our teams go to different places and break new ground in new areas and do frontier work for the gospel, places that are completely untouched by the gospel, it's important to answer the question of how do we make Christ known? And even in my own life, personally, I have to ask that question. In my family, with my children, how am I going to make Christ known to them? How can I bring them to Christ? How can I show Christ? How can I help them to experience Christ in their lives? Not only my family, but in our neighborhood, with my neighbor downstairs, I am always looking to show Christ to them and asking, how can I show Christ to them? And we all have a platform for the gospel. My platform is different from yours. We all have different spheres that we are able to influence, different people, different lives that we touch on a daily basis. The people at the grocery store, the people at the bank, the people we work alongside with, the people in your home, my home. And our neighborhoods are vastly different. I live 15 minutes from here, and where I live is very different from this neighborhood. There are opportunities, so many opportunities to make Christ known. But we have to ask the question, how do we do that? How do we make Christ known in our world today? And perhaps you've even asked yourself that question recently, or perhaps it's been a while since you've asked yourself that question. How do you make Christ known in your life, in your world, in your relationships? Well, the answer to that question of what it will look like for us to make Christ known, honestly, is probably one of the most important questions that we as believers could ever ask. And the reason for that is because if we don't get the answer right, lives will be completely destroyed. Souls will be lost to eternity, and we will be missing out on God's call in each of our lives. So eternity hangs in the balance today, right now, and it is the most important question that we could ask ourselves. How do we make Christ known in our world today with the people that we know and see on a regular basis? Well, thankfully, The answer to this question is found all throughout the New Testament. And as you read, there are many different passages that talk about how to make Christ known where you live. And the believers in the first century were asking this same question. And they needed to know what it looks like to make Christ known in their lives. And here in our passage in 1 John chapter 4, the Apostle John answers this question very clearly for us. So let's look at these verses together for a few moments and glean the truth of how we can make Christ known in our lives. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. By this, the love of God was manifested in us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him, and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit." So here we are in 1 John. This is a passage, these verses are all about love, right? Brother Mookie mentioned earlier that the word love is repeated throughout these verses over and over and over again. It's all about love. And these verses answer our question, what does it look like to make Christ known in our world today? And the answer to that question, which is found in these verses, is in this thought: showing love to others is our visual of Christ to the world. Showing love to others is our visual of Christ to the world. Now, before we jump in, let me just give you a little background on the book of 1 John. It's a book with 5 chapters, and throughout the book, John is writing to encourage the believers so that they may know that they have eternal life in Jesus Christ. And two of the things that John is teaching them is, first of all, that God is light, and second of all, God is love. And as we live in relation to him, as we abide in him, we will see those two things play out in our own lives and into the lives of others. God is light and God is love. And so here in 1 John chapter 4, he focuses on the truth that God is love and how that looks in our lives as God's love is within us. So let's start by looking at these first few verses. These first few verses, I'm not going to get into too much depth, but I want to highlight the truths that are found in each verse about love. In verse 7, we see that love, first of all, is from God. He says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God." And as you think about love, especially on this day of all days, we need to remember that love is not something that we as people have come up with. It's not something that is naturally coming out of us. It is something that in its very nature is from God, because God in his very nature is love. All love originates from God. It is who he is. It's his very essence. It's who he is in his triune being, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He is love. And in that triune communion, you find love between Father and Son and Holy Spirit. So first of all, love is from God. In verse 7, we see that. And then, as we continue reading, we see that those who love are also born from God and know him. Those who love are born from God and know him. He says, everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. So this is a family character trait, that if you show love to others, if you have love, this is a direct result of being born again of God. It's a family character trait. It makes perfect sense, does it not? That God, who is love, if we are born again into his family, we too would bear that same character trait in our lives, that we would be loving. As a child, I remember in kindergarten very specifically, my kindergarten teacher sending notes home to my mother. And, kindergarten is an interesting time in a child's life. It's where you start to see personality and start to see those things develop, the character traits and different maybe even quality traits. Well, the kindergarten teacher wrote to my mom a few times, and one of the things that she mentioned a few times to my mom was that Jeremy likes to tease. And it's something I became known for in kindergarten, and I think I even got in trouble a few times for it. And something I think has continued even to this day. It is something that I've not completely gotten victory over yet. No, it's all just for fun, and it's a way that I show love. Well, as a result, because of that character trait that I have and that little thing that I do of teasing others, I've noticed in my own daughter that she too is becoming a teaser and teasing others as well. And her and I, we go back and forth sometimes for fun, and we just have fun and laugh together, and she loves it. And my wife and I oftentimes will notice different things about our children that we say, "That's your child. That's not my child. That's not from me. That's from you." And I think that's what we see here in verse 7 when John says that everyone who loves is born of God. What he's saying is that when you love, it is a direct reflection on the Father that you've believed in. That it shows that you are his child, that you're born again of him, you're in his family, because you too are expressing love as he is love. Well, the opposite of that is true as well. Look at verse 8. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. And this is the reality in our world today, that those who do not know God yet, those who have not been born again, do not have love. They don't have this love in them. They don't have this love in their life for others or for God. And it's a direct reality. It's a reality that shows us that they do not yet know him, that they are apart from him, and they do not yet know him. And then as we continue in verses 9 and 10, we see how God shows his love to us, to his world. God showed his love by sending his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Verses 9 and 10 say, "By this the love of God was manifested in us, that God has sent his only begotten son into the world so that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins." So here is how we see the love of God. This is the greatest demonstration of God's love for us in our world. It is through the sending of his only son, Jesus Christ. God's love is shown, it's manifested, it's made a reality, it's visible through his giving of his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. That's what John writes here in these verses. But not only that, his love is also initiative. Look at it as he continues. It says that in this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us. See, we didn't love him first. God loved us first. And out of his love, he gives his Son. So God is initiative in his love. He's seeking after us. He's showing his love by giving us his son. He loved us first. But not only is it initiative, he's also sacrificial with his love, because he sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. And this word propitiation is a big word, which simply means he made him to be the pleasing, atoning sacrifice for our sins. God was pleased to receive on our behalf. And we see this illustrated in the Old Testament with the high priest who would once a year on the Day of Atonement go into the temple, into the inner part called the Holy of Holies, where they would have the Ark of the Covenant, where God's very presence indwelt this place. And on the Ark of the Covenant, on the top of it is a gold covering. And on that gold covering are two cherubim standing there. And it's called the mercy seat. And once a year, this high priest would enter with a rope tied around his ankle in case he died before the very presence of God. And he would enter there and sprinkle blood on top of that mercy seat to make atonement, to make a sacrifice for the sins of the people. And what God does in his Son by sending his Son, Jesus Christ, into the world is he sends his Son to make the once-for-all final sacrifice for our sins, for my sins, for your sins. He became the propitiation for our sins. And this is how great his love is for us. Now you may think, well, he gave his only Son. That's amazing. But it's even more amazing as you consider the relationship that the Father has with his Son. You see, throughout the New Testament, Jesus Christ, when spoke of in terms with his Father, is referred to as the beloved Son. The beloved Son. And we see this most famously in the passage where John the Baptist baptizes Jesus. And there, as Jesus comes out of the water, a dove descends upon his head, the Holy Spirit, and the Father speaks from heaven down to his Son, and he says, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." This is how great his love is for us, because he was willing to give up his only Son, his beloved Son, the Son that he loved. And maybe we don't often think of God in terms like that, but this is how God works. This is who he is. He is a God of love. Even the Father, in relation to his Son, loves his Son. But he loved us so much that he was willing to send him to the earth for our sins, to become the sacrifice for our sins. This is the greatest demonstration of God's love, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God sent him to us. The people, we are the ones who broke his law, the rebels against God and his kingdom. Yet God has lovingly sent his Son into the world to pay the price for our sins, which we deserved. But yet he put it on Jesus to bear them for us so that we wouldn't have to face the punishment that we deserve. This is love. This is the greatest demonstration of love our world will ever see or ever know. But as we continue to answer this question of how do we make Christ known in our world today, verses 11 through 13 will give us even more clarity. So let's continue. Look at these verses with me. Verse 11, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." So here we see that God so loved us, right? In the same way, we are called to love one another. We are called to love one another in the same way that God has loved us. And we've seen already how God loves us by initiating it, by not waiting for us, but showing us love first. And not only that, by sacrificing, by giving of himself for us. And so we're called to love in the same way towards one another. In this same kind of love, we are called to love one another. This is written to believers, and this is our call as a church to love one another, to look for ways to love each other in our body here, that we might not wait for somebody else to make the first move in showing love, but that we might take that step and show them love, to think of their needs first and not our needs first, to give sacrificially to them, not just of our monies, but of our time and our energy. We might be selfless with the way we treat one another. And this is how we're called to love as beloved children of the Father, that we would have in our family this same love toward one another. And then in verse 12, John continues, he says, "No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us." I don't know about you, but as you read these verses, verses 7 through 13, it's all about love, and it almost seems odd that these words appear in the middle here, and it says, "No one has seen God." Well, this is beginning to answer the question for us of how people are going to see God. And this is a reality. No one has seen God. How will they see Christ? How will they see God? How do they come to know him? It's through God abiding in us. It's through his love in us, shown to one another, that people will see and know God. That people will see and know Christ. Showing love to others is our visual to the world of what he looks like, of who he is. And maybe you can even think of your own experience before Christ, or even while you've been a believer. I'm sure there have been moments in your life where you've seen Christ so beautifully and so clearly through the life of somebody else. I know for myself, it's often been tied to the reality of their love for me. I've seen Christ through people, through my parents, through others, and it's always been in direct connection to the way in which they showed love to me, whether it's forgiving me or giving me something that I didn't deserve. It's always a reminder of God's love, and I see them love, and it's a reminder. They're loving like God loves. They are marked by his love. His love is flowing through them into my life. And I realize that this is how we show Christ to the world around us. It's through love. It's through showing this same divine love which has been shown to us, to others, that we would sacrifice for others and give to others and initiate love and do things for others. This is how we are going to see Christ in our world today. This is how we're going to show people what Christ is like today in our world. It's through his love flowing through our lives. And this is the very mark of a disciple of Jesus Christ. Jesus told the disciples this in John chapter 13, in his last hours on earth before he died. In John chapter 13, verse 35, he says this, "By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Of all the things that he could have said, this is the one characteristic that differentiates a believer from everybody else, and it is love. Loving like Jesus. This is what shows that we are believers, that we have love for one another, and that we have love for our neighbor, for those outside of our body. God is love, and if we are to show the world Christ through our lives, that means we need to love them. We are called to love them. It's amazing as you study history, especially the history of the early church, and how fast and rapidly the gospel of Jesus Christ spread throughout the known world, and how the church grew and expanded in the known world at that time throughout the Roman Empire. As you study that, one of the common denominators in the story of that early church is the reality that they had love, is that they loved one another and they loved those around them. And I'll just read you a few examples of that. Tertullian, one of the early church fathers, reports that the Romans, when they saw the Christians or when they talked about the Christians, would say, "See how they love one another." It was a stark contrast to everything around them, stark contrast to the culture that they found themselves in, that these believers in their small community, which was being persecuted, would show love for one another. Justin Martyr, another early church father, sketched Christian love this way. He says, "We who used to value the acquisition of wealth and possessions more than anything else, now bring what we have into a common fund and share it with anyone who needs it. We used to hate and destroy one another and refuse to associate with people of another race or country. Now, because of Christ, we live together with such people and pray for our enemies. This is the love that the early church had. There was a time in the 3rd century where a devastating plague swept across the ancient world, and Christians were on the front lines of that plague. Christians were the only ones who were caring for the sick, which they did at the risk of contracting the disease, the plague themselves, while at the same time, those who were without Christ were actually throwing out their own family members onto the street so that they wouldn't catch the disease and die. Christians were welcoming these people in and finding ways that they could help them with their sickness and this disease. This is love. This is the kind of love that God has given to us, and it's the kind of love that the early church showed to others. It's the kind of love that we need to show to our world, that we're called to show to our world. And as we do so, they will see Jesus Christ. As God's love is perfected in us, we show love to others, and this is our visual expression of Christ in our world today. This is not something that we work at. This isn't something we try to be better at. I would be devastated if we walked out of the doors of this building today and thought to ourselves, man, I just need to be more loving. I need to just love my wife more. I need to love my kids more. I need to love my neighbor more. I need to do something about it. I love the energy, but the power doesn't come from our own energy. It comes from God. And this is why verse 13 is so important that we end with this verse. Verse 13 says, "By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit." You see, the Spirit is the one who's living within us. It is God himself, the Holy Spirit, living within us, who produces this fruit of love in our lives, who gives us, who enables us to love others in the same way that Jesus loved the world, in the same way that God loves the world. It's the Spirit who gives us that energy and that ability. The Spirit who lives in us is the evidence of Christ in us. And the greatest manifestation of the Spirit, and thus Christ, is his love flowing through us out into the lives of those around us. This is the greatest manifestation of the Spirit. This is how they will see Christ, through his love. So, what is our next step? What do we do next with this? I challenge you. I challenge each of us here. Pray first that God would bring to mind somebody's name, somebody maybe you know, that somebody, maybe their face that you see often, somebody you pass along the street or live next door to. Pray about having an opportunity to show them love. Pray for an opportunity to show them love this week. Jump on the opportunity. Do one thing for someone that will communicate to them that you love them, and more importantly, that God loves them through you. And I challenge you, I know this world, there are so many needs, there are so many broken people, there are so many things that we could be doing, and it can be overwhelming, and we could almost just toss our hands up and just say, I can't do it, there's just too much out there. But I just challenge you, think about this, and this has helped me. Do for one what you wish you could do for everyone. Obviously, we can't help everybody. We have limited resources. We are not God. God is unlimited. He is infinite. We are finite. But we have the opportunity to impact those that we are around. We have an opportunity to impact those we come in contact with. So take that opportunity. Do for one what you wish you could do for everyone. And show them love. Show them the love of God. And as you do that, as you step out and ask God to help you, he will. He will totally come and help you. He will be with you as you do that. We've seen it happen in our own lives. And I'd like to close here with I like to call it a dream question, because I like to paint a picture of what it would look like. Dream with me for a moment. What would it look like if each of us did this week? What would it look like in our communities, in our families, in our neighborhoods, in our place where we work, in all the other spaces that we interact with people? What would it look like if we stepped out of our comfort zone this week and did something out of love for them? Did something out of love for just even one individual? How would it impact those around you? What would happen in their lives? Maybe they'd be shocked and surprised, like, what are you doing? Let me guarantee you this. What you will be doing is showing them the love of Jesus Christ, perhaps that they've never experienced before from a Christian. And what you'll be doing is you'll be planting the seeds of the gospel in their life, and you'll be opening the door for you to have an opportunity to share the truth of the gospel with them in the future. There's a young man that my wife and I met on the mission field a few years ago, and when we first met him, and he signed up for our class, when I first saw him, I just thought, I honestly really hope I don't get him in my class. He just from all outward appearance seemed like the type of kid that didn't want to be there but was being forced to take the class. And I just remember thinking, man, I hope he's not in my class. Well, sure enough, he was in my class. And I got to know him a little bit, and through different means, we actually got to meet outside of class and go different places together. He showed us a few different areas of where he lives and just different interesting things around there. And through this relationship, we began to find out how broken he was. He was a member of the predominant religion where he lives, but even though he had grown up in a family that believed in this religion, he himself was seeking and realized that they didn't have the answers. And so he'd been searching and looking for God in all these different places and different religions until he had met us. And we were able to introduce him to the gospel. And he hasn't quite gotten to that point yet, but he's heard the gospel repeatedly. And we've been involved in his life, even some of the darkest moments in his life, we've been able to reach out to him and talk to him and show him this love of Christ. And even recently, we hadn't heard from him for a little while, and he reached out to us. And while we were talking with him on the video call, something struck me that he said. He mentioned that he lays in bed at night sometimes and wishes that he could just talk to me and my wife and just ask us questions, because he's going through such darkness in his life and he knows that we really care about him. And when he said that, I realized what was happening in his life, that he is not seeing me. He's not seeing me and my love and my care for him. He's really, what I'm doing as I interact with him is the Spirit through me is showing his love to this young man. And I'm just a channel for that love. And through me, he is being drawn to Jesus Christ, and he's being drawn to the truth, even though he can't mentally grasp it yet, even though he doesn't have all the questions answered, even though we've tried, there's still something about the fact that we love him and care for him that is drawing him in to Jesus Christ. And we are praying for his salvation to that end. So I just challenge you. We always think about, we need to have the best arguments for what we believe in, and that's important. We need to know everything there is about the Bible, and we need to be ready with an answer, and that's all important. But the greatest thing that we can do for our world, the greatest way in which we can show Christ to our world, is simply by loving. And that's something any of us can do, because all of us have that Spirit living within us. His love is in us, and we can show that love to one another. I would challenge each of us, especially as a church, it's easy to get focused on a lot of different things and to think that all of these things are important, and many of them are. But as we consider the church in the first century, and as we consider what what John is teaching us here in 1 John, there's nothing more important than us having God's love living in us and having that love pour out of our lives into the lives of those in this room and those outside of these doors who will never walk in this room, because that is their visual expression of what Jesus Christ looks like. So if all the things we're doing don't amount to anything, we'll be doing nothing for his cause. But if we just simply allow God to use us and allow his love to fill us and allow it to flow out of us into their lives by doing something of love for someone, even this week, it will begin their journey towards Jesus Christ, and they will begin to see who he is and what he's like through the life that we live. God loved the world so much that he sent his only son, Jesus Christ, to be the sacrifice for our sins. And this love is now on full display through the life of each believer here in this room as we depend upon God's Spirit in our lives. Let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, we are just so thankful for your word, which speaks to us even today. And we thank you, Lord, for first of all loving us and showing your love to us through your Son, Jesus Christ. We know how undeserving we are and how amazed we are to stand in your presence and to consider your love for us, that you would give up your only Son, your beloved Son, for us, and that he would become the sacrifice for our sins, the sins that we've committed. Take our punishment. Thank you so much for your love, Lord. Fill us now with that love, that we might show it to the world around us, and that through our lives they would see you, they would see your Son, Lord. Lift up your Son through our lives. May he be seen, may he be known, may he be heard, and would we see eternity impacted because of your life and your love flowing through ours. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.